As we continue our study in the Gospel of Matthew, we ask you to open your Bibles, if you are in a situation where you can, to the 19th chapter of the book. We ask you to turn to that portion of the Word of God, because we are in the section in the Gospel of Matthew that we have described with the words, answering questions on the way to Jerusalem. In these last days of our Lord's earthly life, He was answering questions posed to Him, which are certainly important to us. He answered a question, concerning divorce. And out of that question concerning divorce arose another question, a question concerning celibacy. The disciples had said to Him, "What is the point in being married if the marriage restrictions are so rigid that there is no way out of a marriage relationship that is pleasing to God except through the unfaithfulness of one partner or the other?" They said, "A man might just as well, a woman might just as well not marry." And we learned in our last study that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Well, everybody can't receive this saying to which you have made reference." That is, everybody cannot remain in the celibate state. And that we are thinking about a state is indicated in the 11th verse, where we read the exact words, "Jesus said unto them, All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given." If you will notice the word "receive" there in the verse, you will see that he is speaking about a practice of life, that is, an unmarried state, instead of just a simple act that lasts for a brief period of time. The word "receive" is an interesting word here. That is the Greek word that is translated "receive." There are any number of Greek words which may be translated by our English word "receive." This particular one is "choreo." The word "choreo" means to make room for something. Very literally, it means to make room for something. What is the Lord Jesus Christ saying? Well, he said, "Disciples, all men cannot make room for the unmarried state in their lives. All men cannot live in an unmarried state. It does not fit into their lives. There is no room for that in their lives." Now, we use that kind of expression very often, don't we? Certainly do. When we say concerning certain things, "I don't have any room for that," or "I just don't have any time for that." This means, for whatever reason, we cannot make that thing about which people are speaking a part of our lives. That the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about a state, and not merely the acceptance of a simple statement, is further indicated by the word "given." Once more we read the words, "All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given." Notice that word "given," as I suggest to you that it is the translation of the Greek word "didomi," which usually speaks of grace. It is not a matter of being given a gift of some material thing. It's a gift of grace. Now, the Bible teaches us that God's grace is sufficient. What that means is that if God calls upon you to live in a certain way, you as a believer will receive grace in the sense that you will receive the power and the ability to live in the manner God has called you to live. The Apostle Paul, you will recall, had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed about it. He asked God to remove it. The Bible says he prayed thrice about it. But that's an idiomatic expression. It does not mean that he prayed three times and then stopped praying. He just kept on praying about it. And my, how we need to do that. Keep on praying until we get the answer. The answer's not always what we're asking about. God finally said to him, "Now, Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn, But I'm going to give you the grace to live with it. I'm going to give you the grace to live victoriously with it. For my grace is sufficient for thee. We're not going to attempt to determine what the thorn was. If we knew, it wouldn't help very much, because we probably wouldn't have the same thorn. I think the Spirit of God must have left Paul's thorn unidentified so that we might get the real thrust of this portion of the Word of God. And that is this: in whatever place God calls you, God will give you the grace. Numerous experiences in my life have proven this to be true. Sometimes we have had experiences in our lives, my wife and I, before she went to be with the Lord, and we would ask God about it, saying, "How can you expect us to do this particular thing? We simply cannot do it." I know that was true in relation to the homegoing of my life. I said to God, my wife, I said to God, "God, you've asked me to do many things, but this is one thing I cannot do." Now, I did not say that in the sense of rebellion. You'll notice I did not say, "I won't do it." I said, "God, I cannot do it. My dear one is a part of me. Half of me will be gone. Nearly all of me. I cannot do it." And I did not think I could, but I did it. And I want to say today, for the praise of our God and the glory of our Christ, that God has not failed. His grace is sufficient. I never thought I would have grace to live victoriously alone. But that grace has been given. And I use this illustration so that you will realize we are not talking about a mere statement. We're talking about a literal state. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Everyone cannot make room for a celibate state in his life. Only those who have special grace to live alone can do it." The Lord Jesus Christ emphasized to them, to amplify what he had said, three reasons for celibacy. And I think it would be wise for us to become familiar with them today. The three reasons for celibacy are given in verse 12. One of them is an act of God. It is described in the first phrase of the verse. Some people are born eunuchs. That is, they are born either without the capacity to marry or without marriage being God's plan and purpose for them. The word eunuch, you will remember, describes the unmarried state. That was, as we said earlier in our lives, since sometimes the word eunuch brings to the minds of many an official office that was often used in Persian kingdoms and in other areas. We're using the word celibate, speaking of the unmarried state. Celibate or celibacy. The Lord Jesus Christ said, some people are born to live in an unmarried state. We have taught repeatedly that God has for every man a woman and for every woman a man. But we have also taught that there are divine exceptions. Now, when my girls were young and I made that statement, they would say to me, "Daddy, suppose I'm one of those that God wants to live alone." And they get a little uptight. They think, "Oh my, Daddy means that I'll never get married." Of course, I told them that I doubted very much that they were included in that number, but sometimes God, in his wise sovereignty, decrees that some people live alone. Now, before you get upset about that and say, as my girls said when they were little,
Suppose that means me. I don't want to live all by myself all my life. Just remember that if God calls you into such a state, God will most certainly give the grace. It is important for us. We'll be talking about this more a bit later, but in the closing seconds we have together today, let us recognize that some people who are living in an unmarried state are God's choice people. There is a tendency among people today to feel sorry for particularly young ladies who are not married. That feeling is not as great as it was years ago because women have a different place in the economy of things today than they had years ago. And marriage, years ago, was a sign of success. If a lady was able to find a husband, then she was all right. And if she didn't find a husband, there was something wrong with her. I say this has changed to a great degree, and yet there is still that little feeling on the part of some people towards singles. Oh, you poor thing, you. How miserable you must be. And these single people oftentimes resent that because they are not unhappy. Many of them are living a single life for a number of different reasons, not because they have been passed by or because they have been a so-called, quote, missed blessing, unquote. They are in the very place they want to be and God wants them to be, and the grace of God is sufficient and they are enjoying it. Now, if I should be speaking with someone today who is unhappy in that unmarried state, draw upon God's grace until God changes the situation. Then all will be well. Remember the promise, my grace is sufficient for thee.